FM News Talk 97.1
Podcast. The Mark Cox Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
The Mark Cox Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
Let's get it on. Is The Mark Cox Show.
Come on in. The water is warm, Joe.
How about that? Kamala Harris telling Joe Biden to come on in. The water's warm.
It's just a big hot tub on the left.
Big old hot tub party.
I do not want to think about Kamala Harris in hot tubs.
I don't want to think about
how she launched her political career. We don't want to talk about that. But welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Just scant moments ago, in time for the beginning of our show, I know he timed it this way. Joe Biden, you pick the moniker, Crazy Uncle Joe, Creepy Uncle Joe. He has adopted a "I am Batman" kind of voice for his new video that he dropped this morning, announcing that he, Joe Biden, is in the race.
Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history. We know it by heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We've heard it so often, it's almost a cliche, but it's who we are. We haven't always lived up to these ideals. Jefferson himself didn't, but we have never before walked away from them. Charlottesville is also home to a defining moment for this nation in the last few years.
When you get knocked down, there's only one thing to do. Get up!
It was there on August of 2017 we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis
all
come
right,
out.
Stop. I've heard enough. We can cut that up later.
This video
this
is titled,
how he starts?
Yeah. That's the announcement?
Joe Biden for president. America is an idea is what it's called. It was announced this morning, and that's what he tweeted out. Like, that's what he went with. And it's
I have a question.
Yes, okay. Mark Cox.
Who thought that would be a good idea?
Joe Biden. Joe Biden's people, probably. Like, we need to
team of people.
Yeah. I think it was, we need to do some serious damage control on the gropiness. Let's do something very soft. Like, it's very, very soft, almost like pinkish tint with cursive writing around his head. And it looks like a joke, really.
So have you seen him yet? Does it show him right off the beginning talking?
Yeah, it's his big head, but okay. There's like other stuff around.
And then they
head.
Edit video over it and all that, I guess. Charlottesville.
And he's got Barbara Walters focus.
It is Barbara.
It's very soft. Very
yes,
nice.
Perfect, Ryan. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's all staked on Charlottesville, apparently. That's the campaign.
White supremacy.
Yeah.
This is America's for everyone. I am Batman.
You think
that's kind of the breathiness in his voice. And, you know, remember the Hillary Clinton rollout when she announced she was running for president? Everybody waited and waited and waited. And then it was this goofy video recorded outside of a house somewhere that I guess was supposed to look like a house in middle America with a white picket front porch and all this stuff. And it was just weird. And maybe it's a generational thing that he thought that was the best way to announce this instead of just holding a news conference and walking up to the podium and say, "I'm Joe Biden and I'm running for president."
Well, he's milked this cow for every day. There's an announcement coming out. There's an announcement coming out. And now there's an announcement.
I think that he's probably just telling us my angle here is I'm going to make Trump seem like a racist. I think I have this nomination in the bag. I'm running on the fact that Trump's a white supremacist.
Well, you know, it's funny you should bring that up because there's the Daily Mail. You can take the Daily Mail for what it is, whether you like it or not. There's the Daily Mail headline this morning is this. The headline is there a new shock poll is out. And Joe Biden would beat President Trump by 8 points in a 2020 matchup if it were held today. Did you know that? 8 points.
I did see that, and it just got me thinking about polls in general and how accurate they always are.
But then you have to go look at the number of people who are undecided. The undecideds in that matchup with Trump are 20%. So in other words, 20% of these people have known Joe Biden for 40 years, and they don't know that they want to vote for him, right? So you have to figure, if half of those break for Trump, then he's beating Biden in this poll, right? There's always going to be a certain number of people who are roadkill. They're the ones in the middle of the road that can't decide which way they're going to go, and they end up getting run over. That's what happens. So I'll bring you back to this just really quickly. I pulled up a poll from Newsweek. Look at this. October 30th of 2016. And the other one is October 23rd. An ABC News poll shows Hillary Clinton with a 12-point lead over Donald Trump just a week before the election. So if you can put whatever stock you want in this poll for Crazy Uncle Joe, I'm just telling you, going to be a long, long race.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
You know who he's talking about, don't you?
I'm a big deal.
He's trying to suggest that Donald Trump is a tyrant, and we need a new voice on the national stage. Listen to him.
I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time.
Just as a side note, Hamas came out and immediately endorsed Joe Biden, as probably will ISIS and a lot of other groups who don't want to deal with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has decimated them. I'm guessing he gets the endorsement today of the president of France, don't you think? Macron, that's just a matter of time. Merkel, all of the softies in Europe, of the European socialist democracies, who don't want to deal with Donald Trump because he doesn't play ball with them. He doesn't give them easy trade deals. He doesn't give them a pass when it comes to paying their share of protecting the European continent in NATO. Of course they don't want to deal with Donald Trump. Why can't the American people see this? The world's going to love a Joe Biden campaign. Oh, yeah, we're going to go back to leadership. Dignified leader on the world stage, where he's bending over to every dictator and every leftist in the world who wants to push the Paris Climate Accord change, which was a billion-dollar drain on our economy. It's ludicrous. The trade deals that he's negotiated with the European Union, soon to be negotiated with China, Canada, Mexico, the tax cuts that we got pushed through that have been like jet fuel for our economy. Now, Joe Biden is 77 years old, right? So he would have been 30 30 the last time. No, wait a minute. Let me take that back. He would have been in his 30s the last time jobless claims were as low as they are today in this country. Think about that. And he was a member of Congress and the Senate for a 35-year period when this country spent trillions of dollars more than it brought in. And he heralded all of that. But today he wants you to believe that he's the only chance of saving this country. That's the same gobbledygook Hillary Clinton tried to sell us. Remember that? If Donald Trump takes over, the stock market will crash. And yesterday, I believe, or the day before, we set new highs in the NASDAQ, at the very least. And maybe the S&P. I've got to go back and look at that. But here's the rub. And this is not opposition research. This is Joe Biden in his own words. Let me tell you what's coming next. Joe Biden probably wishes he hadn't said this now. But he went to a foreign policy speech back in January of this year, of 2018, a year ago. And Joe Biden started bragging about what a hard ass he was when it came to negotiating with the Ukraine. This is what he did when he, just listen very quickly, talking about the threats he made to the Ukrainian president when he was vice president.
I guess the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was going supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No, I said I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch, got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
And now the rest of the story. Here's what Joe Biden didn't bring up in that little clip right there. That prosecutor, his last name was Shokin, S-H-O-K-I-N, was investigating a company called Burisma Holdings at the time he got fired. Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was a board member of that organization. And Shokin told investigators in the Ukraine that he was about to issue broad subpoenas and investigations of that company, including its executive board and Hunter Biden. Because among other things, the allegation is U.S. banking records show Biden's American-based firm received regular transfers into one of its accounts, more than $166,000 a month from this company in the Ukraine, which was being targeted by this prosecutor that Joe Biden insisted that he be fired or he wouldn't get the $1 billion loan guarantee the U.S. was supposed to be giving to the Ukraine. The answers have to be given here. Here's another headline. Ukrainian law enforcement officials believe they have evidence of wrongdoing by American Democrats, and they want to know why the Trump Justice Department won't act on it. So there's more to come for this story. Now that Joe Biden's officially in the race, the gloves are off.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
So Joe Biden announced for president this morning, and as part of his rollout, he has decided to go back to race. He's gonna be a race baiter like everybody else. He's gonna try to dig up and play on emotions surrounding what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. Listen for a moment.
2 years. It was there on August of 2017 we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis come out in the open. Their crazed faces, illuminated by torches, veins bulging, and bearing the fangs of racism.
Joe really should write his own stuff. It sounds like he hired a dramatic script writer to write that, like Stephen King or somebody wrote that for him. The veins bulging on their face as it reflected in the firelight.
It's
overly dramatic.
Yeah, I'm about 100% sure he didn't write it. I'm also about 100% sure he couldn't do better.
No. He could have, though. Mm. The point is, he's running on this incident that happened in Charlotte 2 years ago over a story that I would still argue with you today was completely blown out of proportion by the same people pushing the Mueller fiasco and the Mueller lies, the Mueller report lies, the Russian collusion lies. They hated Donald Trump. It didn't matter what he said about that incident. They weren't going to accept it. So I'm going to go back because I think this is important. I want to go back and play Donald Trump's original reaction. Sorry about that. To the Charlottesville incident. Now, remember what predated that. There was a Confederate monument there in Charlottesville that the city council had basically was about to hold a big public hearing on, and they were thinking about tearing it down. And groups on both sides of the argument, including groups from Antifa, the anti-fascist people who are so bold they wear masks to cover their face, showed up in both support of tearing it down and in opposition to the people who supported keeping it up. Now, not all of the people who supported keeping the statue up were members of the Klan. There were certainly white supremacists in the group. There were also radicals like Antifa in the group who were there to commit violence against anybody who disagreed with them. So they're no better than the white supremacists from that standpoint. They both want to commit violence against people who they disagree with. And in the context of that, this was the president's original comment on what happened in Charlottesville.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. It's been going on for a long, long time.
So based on that statement from Donald Trump regarding the Charlottesville activities, the violence, somebody ended up getting run over later that day by a car. Joe Biden is basing his entire run for the presidency on whatever racial hatred he can try to inspire from that incident. Now, I'm not quite sure why he feels that that's the turning point that people would want to go to the polls and elect him. My suspicion is, just like Bernie Sanders and Free Everything and Elizabeth Warren and Free Everything and Kamala Harris with Free Weed and everything, it's an effort to motivate his political base. He needs to get the same people that were angry and marching in the street after that incident that they blew out of proportion in 2017, fired up to support him in this run for the presidency. What he's trying to do is eat into the base of support of the people that are already probably supporting one of these more progressive candidates. I mean, he's in a Hunger Games situation here. There's no doubt about it. The siren just sounded, and they've all been turned loose on the island or wherever the hell they are now, inside of the bubble. And the first one to get to the biggest weapon wins. So the Hunger Games have started in the Democratic primary. Joe Biden is all in. Thoughts? Do you think that he has a chance?
He's definitely the front runner.
In the primary? Yeah. No, but I mean in this primary.
In this primary?
Because this is the way I look at it. The initial polls show that in Iowa, he has a 3 or 4 point lead over Bernie Sanders right now. But Joe Biden is the only one who's announced so far that you could even begin to argue is a moderate Democrat.
Right.
He's the only one.
Right. I think there are a lot of moderate Democrats out there that just don't speak up as much, just as the same as I think there are a lot of moderate conservatives out there that don't speak up as much anymore. Our country's kind of polarized right now where you have to be on an extreme or you have to keep your mouth shut. So I think Joe Biden's probably going to get that nomination because I think there is a lot of silent Democrats out
and
there.
Here's why I don't think so, because if you look at the polls, Joe Biden has 26% or 27%, which is roughly a quarter of the vote. The other two-thirds of the vote is split between 19 liberal progressives all trying to get further to the left than the other one. At some point, that vote all coalesces behind one person. And Joe Biden will not survive that primary, I don't think. I don't think there's any way Joe Biden gets out of this primary. I don't see it.
Isn't that kind of what happened with both Mitt Romney and Donald Trump, though, is that there were a lot of candidates and they were able to coalesce just enough because they never really had the majority of the vote because it was split between at least three candidates, if not more, that might be enough for Biden to get by.
I don't know. I think that was part of his argument today was that, you know, I'm going to stand up for what's right in America. America is an idea. Well, actually, America is a sovereign nation that needs strong borders and the rule of law. That's what America needs as much as anything else. And he's trying to steal some of those progressive voters, like, to try to hedge his bets on this final primary. But I'll be honest with you. I think a Bernie Sanders ultimately, or this Pete Buttigieg, even though I'm not a fan, or maybe somebody like, not Klobuchar, but who's the other?
Gillibrand?
Maybe Gillibrand. Maybe somebody else who's to the left is going to coalesce that progressive vote. I'm guessing it's Kamala Harris. And then you've got Joe Biden in the unusual situation of being an old white man running against a younger black female. I don't think he wins that primary in the environment of today's Democratic Party.
I think it stays fractured long enough for him to get it. That's my prediction, which is obviously not your prediction.
I think what he'll end up doing is, at some point, he'll look at one of these candidates who probably doesn't have a prayer of winning, but who's a hard left progressive, and he'll announce that that's going to be his running mate, like early on. I originally thought it would be Beto O'Rourke, but I don't think he'll go there because then again, you'd have two white men, one 76 and the other one in his 30s, on the ticket. They're going to have diversity on their ticket this year.
I bet he picks a female.
But Kamala Harris is never going to agree to the vice presidential slot. She just won't.
They make wheeling and dealings a lot there. You never know.
Anyway, it's out there. I'll get to your phone calls on this at 314-241-9797. What say you about the Biden race? That's some of the biggest news. The other big news of the day, there is a publication in Missouri suggesting that indictments in this investigation into county government could be coming down as soon as tomorrow.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
No, I'm not over it.
What is it about the Democrats and two-time losers running for president? Biden's 0 for 2. Here he's at it again. Hillary Clinton couldn't get the nomination in 07 against Barack Obama, even though she was leading in the polls when she first announced it, and Obama was a long shot, and then she tried again, and she got deprived, and now she's got a letter to the editor in the Washington Post lamenting her loss and the fact that Mueller documented a serious crime against all Americans. Here's how we have to respond. This is personal for me. And some may say I'm not the right messenger. But I'm also a former senator and secretary of state who served during much of Vladimir Putin's ascent. Yeah, I would argue you were, Hillary. You also contributed to the weak position of the United States in relation to Russia with your little reset button trick and your Uranium One deals and the Clinton Foundation. I'm sorry. I just don't understand. They just have to keep regurgitating people. The Democratic Party is a party without a leader right now. And now they're rebooting 77-year-old almost Joe Biden, who would be 78 by the time he got elected president, almost 80 years old, because they're unhappy with the other assorted fruits and nuts that they've got in the 19 other candidates.
It is a weird blend of trail mix right now.
It is a weird blend of trail mix. Mm-hmm.
That was Hillary writing an op-ed about the Mueller report?
Yes.
That's very interesting. Do you think she's trying to get out ahead of this thing before Barr turns it on her?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean,
of course,
wow.
That's a brilliant point, Ryan, because they're turning their attention now to how this whole thing got started. Hillary still wants you to believe that she only lost the election. She cautions the Democrats against impeachment here, but she still claims that she lost the election. Let me read in her words and not to put it in my own words. She says that Russia did a sweeping and systematic attack on our country, and that she argues that they had a tremendous impact on the outcome of the 2016 election with a couple of Facebook posts.
Yeah.
That she wants you to believe, because nobody in the Trump campaign conspired. We know that now after three different investigations. She wants you to believe that some social media dabbling by the Russians caused her to lose the 2016 election. That's the point she's got to hang her hat on.
That seems very designed to keep the pressure on, but not too hard. We don't want to go into impeachment because we know Trump's just going to start swinging elbows.
Yeah.
But let's keep the investigation going on him lightly enough that it's not on me.
I'm with you. Hey, Damon, are you on board with Joe Biden?
No, he's not my selection. But I just find it funny that you guys are railing against Joe and you know, putting these little things out there as far as his mishaps and his speaking, and you guys are supporting Trump. You know, but my point for calling is that you're really speaking, and I think you know this, you're speaking to your base. All of what you're saying about Joe or Democrats in general has no weight. I mean, it's the same thing with Trump. You have the base, but the base didn't win him the election in the first place. This election is going to come down to independence. Everybody knows the cake is pretty much already baked. We have those who don't like the president and those who have like the president. There's going to be the independent. And we both know that this president has done nothing to garner the independent vote, just the same as your argument today.
The bad news for you, Damon, is that the polls show that the independents in general are fed up with the whole Russian collusion story, and they believe there was no conspiracy. One of the reasons Donald Trump won in 2016 is that the Bernie Sanders base, about 15 or 20% of the people that supported Sanders, voted for Donald Trump. And there are indications they're going to do the same thing again this time.
You have no evidence of that. I was a Bernie supporter, and there was no way I voted. People voted who was that much for Bernie went for Trump. Now, if anything, they did what I did. They voted for Klein, or they just sat it out. But they did not vote for Trump.
Are you telling me you threw your vote away in 2016?
No, I exercised my vote for who was speaking to me.
Oh, I understand. I understand. So, all right. All right, David.
That's how the country works.
I appreciate the call, buddy. Got to run.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I want to let you have your say. That's how the country runs. To my dad's dying day, God rest his soul, I told him he helped elect Bill Clinton by voting for Ross Perot. And I'll stick to that. If you vote for a third party in this country, you're just abandoning one of the two people that will be the leader.
Get more at 971talk.com.